Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 535, Ghosts of Meridian, recorded live on April 14th, 2016. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm your third host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back. After a week of hiatus, thanks to technical difficulties last week with my computer going crazy and not wanting to work the way it needs to be, thanks to a motherboard that is giving out. But we are back to talk about some Ghosts of Meridian stuff, since we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, since it did come out on Thursday last week, which was pretty cool to see it turn around so quickly. They had the live stream and then they had the update within 2 days of each other. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to get back on the wagon of discussing a little bit of the campaign. So we're going to cover another campaign mission tonight. And we also have some new Pro League information that came out a little bit earlier this week as well, along with Warzone Firefight, which just dropped today. So lots of Halo news to discuss, lots of stuff to really look forward to within the upcoming week. And then we also have PAX East that's happening, not this weekend, but next weekend. And I'm actually going to be going to that as well. So that's going to be lots of fun and excitement stuff. But since we have been away for a couple of weeks, it's probably a good idea to kind of catch up on what we've been doing a little bit in our little Halo lives. So I know for me, I've been just trying to get caught up with all the podcasts that have been lagging behind since my trip to LA. And we finally got caught up. We got our Halo World Championship Finals podcast out yesterday. And we had some interviews with Epsilon, Immunity, and Elevate, along with some of the casters. And that is now out. It's a hefty, I think, 2 hours, 15 minutes or so. So definitely recommend you guys go check it out and check out the interviews as well. So that's what I've been doing. How about you guys? What have you been up to in your little Halo corners?
Work, eat, sleep, play Halo.
Yeah, it's pretty much that, but just without video games.
No video games?
Every once in a while I jump on, but that's about it. Like, I haven't put any... kind of been trying to figure out a moving situation. So that's kind of been my main priority, so I haven't really been around much lately. I mean, I jump on Halo every once in a while to play some arena stuff, and that's probably like 4 or 5 games, and I pop off and then probably pass out.
Nice. As far as I've been aware, though, for the last couple of weeks, GT's been actually doing a pretty good job with the custom nights, and I've heard some pretty good successes from that, which has been awesome to hear. And I know Bio and GT, you both have continued your rec opening videos since Bio finally got both of the recs that he was looking for. Wait, did you get the CE pistol? You got the CE pistol, right?
Yeah, I got the CE pistol. I actually got it today with one of the mythic packs, so that was kind of nice. I actually just did a recording session before the podcast, so spoilers to anyone that actually sees the video, I did get the pistol. It was nice.
Yeah, I'll be doing my recording probably Sunday afternoon. I'm going to try to get some Achieving Halo recorded Saturday. So
Sweet. I will be around for that if you're going to be doing it in the morning.
Well, I'm going for one person that's overseas, so it's probably going to be 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, you're going the other overseas. So yeah. Like Australia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, yes.
Cool.
Well,
I will be busy at that time.
But
we'll be busy then.
No, I've got two people. I'm looking for one more. I've got to message them tonight and make sure they're still good for Saturday. But if you guys want to join in, send me a message. I got plenty more missions to go.
I need to get in there. I actually do want to participate in it. It's just this weekend I'm actually leaving again, just like every other weekend. I haven't been home. But I need to get with you and actually do some Achieving Halo. I would love to do a mission.
Well, good. We'll try to get you worked in. Like I said, I'm pretty much going to stay recording on Saturday. That seems to be what everybody's day is available. So at least it works out the best. Whenever I try to do it during the week, it always falls apart. So
the week is hard as well, because for some people, it's you already mm-hmm. have stuff going on in the week. And
Yeah. You have life.
Yes.
It gets in the
life
way.
Happens. Yeah. It tends to do that. It has a bad habit of doing that. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and talk about the Ghosts of Meridian update that came out last week. We got some new wrecks. We got two new maps. We got a new Warzone map and a new arena map, which are pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to play the arena map. I actually went through and looked through it on Forge just so that I could have a little bit of knowledge to when we actually talked about it. It's called Tyrant, and it's basically played on an asteroid for the most part. It's a Forerunner structure that's kind of embedded in the asteroid. And it really seems like it's a map designed for Slayer and Infection, almost.
The best way I can describe this map, it's a sardine can map. It is a tiny map compared to all the rest of them that they've got out there. And I absolutely love the thing. I first got it in a free-for-all match. And once it took me a couple go-rounds to kind of figure the map out. But, man, free-for-all, it plays great. You're just far enough apart that you're not tripping over each other, but you're not having to run halfway around the map to find somebody to kill. In team-based, you can lock down that map so quick, but you can lose it just as fast, too. It plays really well. It is, right now, it is my favorite map of all
good.
Of them.
And I think for my feeling, though, it doesn't really seem like it's going to play well with Objective. Maybe, like, Oddball, it might work well in, but that something like that is the only Objective I really see it excel at. FFA would be pretty good. I don't think Team Slayer is necessarily a good map, and this map is definitely not designed with competitive in mind.
Maybe doubles.
It would make a good doubles map.
Doubles might be interesting. Might be interesting to do doubles with it.
Team Slayer plays pretty good.
Okay.
It doesn't seem real crowded because, instead of being 1-on-5, now you're just 4-on-4. So it scales pretty good in the Slayer sense. But yeah, Capture the Flag or Assault or anything like that, any objective-based game like that, no, I don't think it'd play very well on that, but Oddball?
Yeah, the holes in...
King of the Hill? Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Infection would probably do real well. I've never been much of an Infection person, so...
Well, we'll have to see what they do with Infection for Halo 5, because it could be a little different to the fact that it might be enjoyable once again, because Halo 3... with Forge and then Halo Reach, Infection just got out of control.
Yeah.
Although there were some good Infection maps in Halo 3, not like straight up Infection stuff like Fat Kid or that kind of stuff, but the one where you basically had an entire team trying to get, like, remember the one that was on Sandtrap where you had to kind of walk up a huge hill and you had the, mm-hmm. no, it was like a large ramp and then like the zombie was one guy in the Warthog and it was trying to splatter you as you
are
went
you talking
up
about
the ramp.
Candy Factory?
Never heard of that one.
It was no, I don't think it's that one, but okay. Well, no, it could have been. It could have been.
It was where basically you had to go around. There was a guy in the Warthog, and it was basically the objective for the infected was to go around and kill everyone in the Warthog, or kill everyone and splatter them with the Warthog. I don't know if that's the same. It's probably a different variation of it, but it's probably the same concept.
It could be. Pins is asking if it might be too small for Fiesta, and I don't think it would be because of how closed off a lot of the stuff is, and the map, how it's designed. I haven't played this in person again, but just from what I was able to look at in Forge, it seems like there's a lot of emphasis on close quarters with a few long sites, so there's very few of them compared to like a lot of the rest of the maps, which have some very open line sites. I think before this map, Overgrowth was probably one of the more closed off maps, but this one really kind of focuses on really getting that close quarters combat. So I think Fiesta might be a good one for this map.
I want to put something out there though. Since you mentioned Overgrowth, one of the things that I actually really enjoyed was Strongholds on Overgrowth. I've never had a more intense game on that map. Like, I think that's probably the, like, I've never really cared for the map because I didn't like the way it was, laid out. It was kind of small, and everything was kind of on the edges of the map. But for some reason, Strongholds really brought that map's potential out. Like, I never had Strongholds on that map before. And it's just, like, people are like, why are you bringing this up now? I've just now played it on that map. And since you're going to Arena Slayer and there's more objective stuff, I've noticed it popping up a little bit more. And that map, man, it's nuts. That was my first Kiltacular. I got my very first Kiltacular in that game on that map.
Huh.
So.
I've never played an objective on that map, I think. No, now that I think about it.
I've played Strongholds on it several times. Strongholds plays really well.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, I guess to that point as well, whenever I go into Arena, unless I'm playing with a party, which most of the time ends up being big team, unless we don't have enough people on Tactical Tuesday, I'm playing SWAT to get my daily. So I'm not playing objective that much because it's rarely I'm in there with a party. But I have to try to get a party this weekend and actually try that and see how it feels.
Yeah, and like, something to go on to that point, though, which was really interesting. We've talked about this on the podcast several times about people not interacting with each other in party systems. This was the very first game that I've ever had. Same game, Strongholds, was the very first game that I've ever had that no one communicated with each other. And everyone seemed to know where they're aiming at, which was really nice. Like, I don't really know how to describe it. Like, usually you get in a group of people that don't really go with each other. Like, they're kind of all over the place. Everyone kind of stuck together and kind of. I have the gameplay footage number. I'm debating whether or not if I want to release it or not. But it was one of the best games I've ever played in Halo so far. So, I mean, I'm kind of over exaggerating on constantly being on this map, but I've really come to like that a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
I had one of my best games in Free For All during this last week. I went ahead and tried to rank in Free For All. But anyway, I had one heck of a comeback. I'm thinking about putting that one on my channel. I was cool. Down like 10 kills and came back and won it. So I was impressed with myself. Anyway.
Very nice.
Back to Ghost of Meridian.
Yeah, sorry on the tangent.
It's all right. That's actually a very minor tangent compared to some tangents that we've had in the past.
True.
So the next map that we have is Skirmish at Darkstar. And I've actually played this map, I think, 3 times so far since it came out. And it's very, very small compared to other Warzone maps.
It looked like it was from the live stream. It looked very small.
Yeah, Battle of Noctis, like, grew the size of it. And I guess the Spire one, I forget what that one is. That one is kind of wide open. But Skirmish at Darkstar really pulls things very close together. It does not take very much effort to go from the fortress to the armories. It's really quick.
So it's basically more CQB range rather than long shot at this point with this map.
No.
Really?
A person with a sniper can be very effective on this map. The funny thing is yes, it's the smallest map. I mean, it can almost compared to the others, it feels like an arena map, but you still get good vehicle gameplay. There's plenty of places for snipers. And you get the close quarters. Because they have hallways and passages between the bases. So you get that CQC combat, but you can still get the long range combat. I played a match and I was sitting on the West Armory shooting people at the East Armory while the rest of my team was trying to take it. I was picking off the other team as they spawned outside the base. And I was just there with a regular sniper rifle. And the nice thing is that the really big bosses, they're just right there in the middle of the map.
Hmm. So you'd think this map would be very well balanced then?
It has some issues, but overall, I like it.
Okay.
Because you can, no matter what your play style is, it has an area for you where you're not just kind of sitting there spinning around in a circle and waiting for somebody to show up. You know, for most of these maps, yeah, you drive around, if you're a vehicle person, you drive around a lot, but you don't really see that many people because they're all either in the middle of the map or all in the buildings around the outside. So you don't get that many kill opportunities unless you happen to find where they're running across or you take the vehicle someplace you really shouldn't be.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to play any of the new maps, so it's good to hear that they actually, from your standpoint, that it seems to be a little bit. Because, like, when I first seen it on the live stream, it seemed very small. I didn't think I would like it. But it, the fact that you're putting it is, it has very good vehicular warfare on it. And not to mention as long sniper ranges. Gives me a little bit more hope on it, honestly. Because sniping in, on Warzone is my thing. I love doing sniping on it. It gets a lot of people aggravated.
Oh, there's a lot of, there's lots of places that you could, you can post up and do some sniping.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, really be effective. You're not just sitting there waiting for that one person to run across the map. The, I mean, really about the only thing, and I just came across this yesterday, is one of the bosses is a mantis. And apparently they figured out that it's extremely vulnerable to being splattered by Wraith.
Do what?
You can splatter it with a Wraith.
How
if
does
you
that?
Boost, if you boost, just as, you know, you get in range and you boost into it, it will knock the shields off of it. And if it hasn't already lost some health, it'll knock the health really down low, or it will flat out kill the mantis.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I saw that the other day and I'm like, well, that's just not even cool.
Does that happen to a normal mantis?
I don't know, but you'd think an AI boss would be a little tougher. Cause I think it's 100 point or 150 point boss.
Yeah, I think it's a legendary, so it's 150 points.
And when you can take, I mean, the thing popped up and it was alive maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, the bosses are really quick to take out, except for the first one. The first one is takes a little time because everyone is still using
low-level
loadout weapons. But
still, you know, when that boss comes in, it needs to have enough health to combat the higher rec levels.
See, I'm still a little hesitant with this map, with Skirmish at Darkstar, because there really isn't much or a good variety of areas you can take vehicles compared to some of the other maps. I think if there's only, it's like a few predetermined paths that you can take. Once you open the gates, it's a little more free-flowing, but I've only seen vehicles amass in very specific locations. So I personally don't exactly agree with the good vehicle combat for this map, because it feels like, at least from the few times I've played, most of the vehicles have camped at one area and they're just barraging certain areas where you would be coming out and spawning. And because the map is so small, a lot of the spawn points are very cluttered together and you'll just get decimated. So for example, there was on one playthrough, there was a tank on the other team sitting just outside of West, and they were just barraging the top and bottom entries from the fortress. And like the tank sat there for a good 2 minutes just doing that over and over again and was getting some decent amount of kills with it too.
That's aggravating though. For the opposing team, that's gotta get some people pissed.
I didn't say it was perfect. You know, that's one of the other complaints that I have, that your larger vehicles, like the tank and the Wraith, they can almost set up like stationary gun turrets. And you just, if you've got a good setup on the map, like your team has one of the armories and fortress, they can set right outside fortress and just keep you pinned down in your armory. But when it comes to vehicles that I tend to use, like the Ghost and a Warthog, which are the ones that I most commonly use.
I see those get torn up really quick.
They do get torn up really quick if you have a gunner that doesn't pay attention to what's going on, and a driver that puts the Warthog in places that he shouldn't be. Because I was driving and I had a gunner, and the gunner went on a rampage.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's crazy.
You know, and I was getting splatters. I think I got 10 splatters or something like that. But I have more luck on that map with vehicles than I do any other.
Fair enough. The other thing on this map too, which Pins is actually alluding to a little bit in the chat when he says he's been farmed more for kills on this map than any other map, is if you're going up against a decently good team, not necessarily a star team, but a decently good team, it's very easy to overwhelm the other armory at the start of the game and choke the enemy team into their base. It's very easy to do that on this map. So if you lose that armory at the very beginning, chances are you're not going to be getting out. Chances are that you're just going to be just spawn trapped in your base, because it is so condensed, because it is so close. Even if people are spawning in fortress or the other armory, it takes very little time to get back to that other armory and at the same time get in front of the other base because it's so close.
Yeah, it can be a problem on that if you don't have a coordinated team and you don't protect your armory. But I've had that happen on Ark.
Escape from Ark?
Yeah, that's the one with the snow one, right?
No.
No. What is that one?
I'm drawing the blank.
Where you have your home base.
I know what
armory,
you're talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just can't think of the name.
But anyway, I've played a game there where the other team, they had some people taking their armory, you know, one or two. Every other person on their team rushed our armory. They took our armory and then they went back for fortress.
Yeah, but at least there's a distance between the armory and the base, whereas
that was the first 5 minutes of the game.
No, I get that, but from all the other maps that we have for Warzone so far, the distance between the immediate first base and the core room or the core base has been drastically reduced in this map.
Mm-hmm.
Every other map, there is some amount of distance, and you have to at least make a little bit of an effort to actually get eyes on the doors of the other base. For this one, you can sit on top of it, and you're pretty much halfway there if you were on the snow one. March on Stormbreak. Thanks, Pins.
Yes. But
same thing for Escape from ARC. There, if you are on the armory, you can't see the doors of the base. It gives...
But you can camp right outside the base.
Yeah, but there's a buffer between the base doors and the immediate first out for all the other maps. On this one, there's no buffer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call it much of a buffer, but I mean, yes, the escape from Ark, your main base is further away from your armory because you have to actually go around the corner. But
and then the Spire one, you have to go quite a distance.
Yeah, the Spire one, that is the furthest one, but
yep. You know,
they don't have to be that close to pin you in your base. I mean, whenever that happens to me, they're pinning us down from basically our armory, at least that distance away, until they get the rec levels up, and then they'll start bringing in tanks and wraiths and ghosts. And
I mean, March on Stormbreak, I think, is really kind of the only one that has that, in my opinion, with everything else on the... having something to kind of block, or at least the other team has to get down there, there's at least a chance for you to kind of get out a little bit. Whereas Skirmish at Darkstar, that just doesn't happen. Even if they're like...
It's more exaggerated on that one. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah. Like the distance from the fortress to the front of the base doors, and the fortress being the middle base, is about the same as it were if you were doing the armory on Escape from ARC to the front doors of the base.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what it feels like for me.
Like we've said before, they just need to find a way to take away the lure of farming kills. Whether it's changing up spawns, penalizing, having one of their bases just become not theirs anymore. You know, there's been 100. Yeah, there's been 100 different discussions on that, but.
We could have a podcast dedicated to that discussion.
Probably could, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
There's a lot to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, I like the map.
It's a pretty good map. I've enjoyed the times I played on it.
I don't jump for joy when I see it, but I hate to say this, but I've really become disillusioned with Warzone. It honestly is not much fun for me most of the time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll have games where I'll get a team and we'll do really well, but it's Lester.
They need Warzone customs. They need Warzone customs.
That would be sick.
But
that'd be
the,
awesome.
Oh, yeah. The new mode that we're testing this week, weekend, is showing real promise for me.
Good. We'll discuss that here in a little bit. He's talking about Warzone Firefight, in case anyone didn't catch that. There's still a couple other things to discuss from the Ghost Meridian update, though. We have some new Forge weather effects, which is pretty cool. So for all you Forgers out there, there's some new toys to play with. The new weather effects include rain, proper rain, which is really cool, snow, papers, embers, so think of like volcanic ash ember type stuff, dust, and motes. So if you're trying to forge something aesthetic, there's some new weather effects that you can use to add to your map. And there's actually some new forge pieces that have been added as well. Let me see if the list is at the bottom. So if you have the update, if you go to the update, there's quite a few new things that they've added in here. So they've actually added one-way shield doors, which is nice. I know there's been some custom games that were made in Reach that utilize those very much. Think of Invasion. Basically, we can get Invasion back.
Didn't they add shield doors that would only let people through and not vehicles?
They did that as well, yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a problem with that with me and Duquesne were trying to do some Forge stuff like a couple weeks ago. That was something that he was really hoping they would bring in as a one-wheel shield door, because he was looking to for his new sniper mole map. You drop down, and for some reason, when you dropped, it would, like, I forgot exactly what the issue was, but this one-way spawn door is something that he actually kind of freaked out about seeing that they put in, which is really nice. I mean, the weather effects and all that stuff is incredible as it is, but I'm really happy that they put that in there, because there's a lot of game types that actually rely on that I never realized.
Mm-hmm. Many things. Invasion is kind of one thing, though.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool to... Although for Invasion, we need a couple other little game mechanics added in there before Invasion would truly work, but it still is something that could be done, I think.
I'm sure if someone puts it on a list, it'll show up.
Well, I guess if you can make strongholds capturable by only one team, maybe that would work?
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of that might have some promise.
The only thing I can honestly think, though, is Oddball. Just have Oddball to make it to where one team can grab it, and only one team can hold it at a time.
They can plant it. They can plant the bomb. Oh, yeah. That's actually not a bad idea. All right, let's get some Forgers on that.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, one of the objectives that was in Reach, like if you think about Breakpoint, one of the things was you took a bomb in to plant, and that was one of the stages.
Yep, it was on a couple of them, but it was Spire was the biggest one, wasn't it? For Reach, when you had to sit
there. No, there wasn't a bomb. There wasn't a bomb on Spire. The Breakpoint was the one that had the bomb. And then once you planted bomb, it unlocked the core.
Right. That's what I was thinking of. All right.
Yeah. So, and then to your point, GT, what you mentioned with the vehicle stuff, there's vehicle blockers. I think that's what you were getting at.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's basically just a door that will only let people through and not vehicles.
Yes. They added a bunch of new sounds. So there's a horror sound. There's a Covenant chant sound, animal sounds, water sounds, more nature sounds, crowd sounds, urban alarms, and all that fun stuff. Canisters, soda cans, holograms, fusion barrels, a bush plant, grass plants, ring shapes, doors, more shields, gravity volumes.
Well, there's lots of people that are going to be happy about that.
Yeah. Two-way shield doors. So if someone wants to do a Snowbound remake, you can do that. Ivy plants, more trees, more grass, and plated covers. That's all the new Forge stuff. Oh, and there's one more thing. You can actually change the starting energy of a weapon. So the energy for Promethean weapons that use energy, or Covenant weapons that use energy, you can actually change that now. So cool stuff there. So that's the Forge stuff. There's some new wrecks, which I think quite a few people have been really interested in the new hammers, which has been crazy. So has anyone gone up against one of the Tartarus Tartar gavels.
Yeah, and that thing's ridiculous. That thing's nuts.
Yes.
I have not had the pleasure yet, but I've watched some footage of it.
Yeah, I've seen it used. I haven't been on the tail end of it, thankfully, yet.
I watched a video today. Tartar's
Gavel. Spiteful?
Yes, I Spiteful.
Yep, Tartar's I saw Gavel, that one too.
And four speed boosts. Oh my lord.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is a beast.
Yeah, it is. I mean, oh my gosh, that thing is nuts.
I mean, even the one below it's not that bad. I can't think of the name of it now, but
The grinder?
Yeah, the grinder.
And another cool thing about this update too, sorry for tangent, but they actually gave everyone a Ghost of Meridian's rec pack. So you got three of the new weapons at the start of the update, which I thought was a really cool addition to it.
I thought it was too. That gives everybody a chance to actually play with some of his stuff.
Yeah.
And not have to wait on random luck to get them.
Yeah.
Although I did, I think I got like, let's see, I did a rec opening right after that, and I got three of the four blue steel skins.
Nice.
And I got some of the armor, and I think I got one of the weapons other than in the Ghost of Meridian pack. So I'm not having good luck with updates.
Those blue steel
when it comes to weapons.
Those blue steel skins look sick. They do look pretty cool. I was really surprised on how they look. Like when I first seen them, I was like, all right. Then actually seeing up, like using them, they look really sleek. Like I didn't think they were that mint looking.
I still like my bald eagle.
I got my lone wolf one. I'm not taking that off. It took me way too long to find.
I'll probably, once I get the DMR skin, I'll probably put it on the DMR.
Yeah.
But the bald eagle skin for the assault rifle, that I just can't leave that one. I can't take that one off.
What's mine right now? I forget. I'm checking. Since I got my Xbox right here, turned on. I am rocking, I guess, for the AR, the steel one, which has the yellow accents on it. Then I have Bloodthirst for the BR. Actually, I'm going to change that to Gold Standard since I have that. DMR, I have Prestige, which is the yellow and teal one. And then, actually, I'm going to change that one to Gold Standard too. Yay, Gold Standards. SMG, I have Potence. And then my Magnum is the Boomco Magnum.
If I get the Boomco Magnum, I may change it.
Yeah, the Boomco Magnum is pretty cool. There are a lot of good AR skins, I will say.
Yeah. My favorite one so far is... I'm stuck between Osiris team and ODST. Like, those are my two favorites right now.
Nice. ODST is a solid choice.
Yeah. I like the bright colors on it. You kind of stands out.
Just to be it. So, yeah. And then the other hammer, which we didn't mention yet, is the Corpse Maker. It has a faster swing time and increased lung range. So... And we had two new suppressors get added. The Song of Peace, which has a faster fire rate, increased energy capacity, and a higher reserve ammunition capacity. And then the Razor's Edge, which basically shoots needles, kind of. It has basically shards, and then they super combine.
And both of them will tear you up.
Razor's Edge is so much fun to use.
I've picked it up. I've still got mine that I got in the pack, but I've picked it up off the ground a couple of times, and oh man, I was like, I want to wait until I get more of them.
Yeah, I think the first time I picked it up, or like the first time I used it was when I picked it up, and then after I've picked it up, I'm like, ooh, I like this one. So I went in, I think that might have been one of the things I unlocked with silvers first, because I actually got all the silvers from this rec set done. But I think the Razor's Edge was one of the first certifications I got. So after I picked it up and used it, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to try this because I haven't tried it yet. So I went and picked a Razor's Edge when I spawned next time.
Yeah, it's that Razor's Edge. Oh, jeez. And it tracks hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. But it's so much fun to use.
I've yet to see it or play with it, honestly.
Well, the nice thing about it is it has a longer range, a longer lock-on range than a needler, and it's
well, yeah, because it's a suppressor.
It's almost acts like a precision weapon. It's
just because of how much damage it deals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get what you're coming at with that. It's fun. I don't know how they've been able to manage to keep, like, at least the feel of balance. Maybe it's just because there are so many players in it and because there are so many power weapons at one time in Warzone. But it doesn't feel like any one weapon is just completely overpowering for a given, like, scenario of running through Warzone, because people can spawn in new stuff. So it makes it a really fun experience.
Yeah, pretty much the only weapon I think I've see get used more than others are snipers, whether it be beam rifles or just regular snipers. But as far as your mid to close quarter range weapons, it's all over the map. BR, DMR, light rifles, carbines, all the varieties. And then you get into your suppressors and stuff. I see all of them. Railguns. I think I deal more with railguns in Halo 5 than I have in all of a Halo 4. You get a good mix.
That whiplash though, I see that thing left and right. It's everywhere. I mean, I'm one to blame. I'm one of the people that usually use it because I get a crap load of them, it seems. But you can tear up the enemy team pretty fast with that thing. Like that's probably my favorite wreck in Halo 5 right now.
It is pretty handy, especially for taking out vehicles and cores.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just getting an invis, and then let your buddies drop the whiplash or whatever, and let them drop in, they go in there, and then take out the core. It's game over at that point.
Yep. I've had, I want to say, 4 clips I've recorded of me sneaking in a core room with camo and a railgun and destroying the core. They're just super effective that way.
I keep forgetting I can do combinations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good gun. And the thing is, it's not like, I'm surprised it's not higher than what it is. Like, I would think it'd be an ultra rare or something like that, but it's not, which is nice.
Yeah. Speaking about ultra rares, or more so legendaries, we have 2 new vehicles, the Hannibal Mantis and the Hannibal Scorpion, which are insane. They are basically, instead of machine gun turrets for the Mantis and the normal tank round on the Scorpion, they have Gauss cannons. So the Mantis has a rapid fire Gauss cannon, and then the Scorpion has a fast discharge laser on it. It looks like a real gun for the most part. But those things, if you go up against those things, those have some damage to them.
Yeah, you're pretty much done. You ain't gonna stand against them unless you're from behind. Even in that case, it's not usually a good deal.
I think I may have seen one in Warzone so far since the update dropped. I think it was a Mantis.
I've seen 2 of the Mantis, and I've seen about 8 of the tanks.
I've seen more Mantis than I've seen Wraiths. Or Mantis, or wow, I can't think. More the tanks. I've seen more Mantises that way. They seem to come out last
everybody,
minute too.
If I remember right, everybody got a tank with the pack.
Oh, was that guaranteed?
I didn't.
Well, you got the Mantis?
I didn't get either one. I just got weapons in my rec pack. I just got weapons.
I got the tank
in the Meridian, because everybody I've talked to either got. Well, everybody I talked to got the Scorpion.
I'll check real quick.
Huh.
But I don't think I got any vehicles. Oh, nope. I take that back. I got the tank. You're right.
Okay.
Nope, the tank is there. Mantis is not. I have about 30% more left on all my wrecks.
Man, you're getting up there.
All I have is golds left.
I got a lot of more. I have a lot more silvers I'm tackling right now.
Right now, the game is being a pain and not giving me any DMRs.
Uh-oh.
I've gotten 2, and I got those like the first month that I was playing the game, and I haven't got one since.
So you have 2 DMRs unlocked?
Yes.
Or just, okay. And yeah, there's quite a few of them. I think I have maybe 7 DMRs unlocked, I think. But yeah, there's still quite a few to get on that front. So those are the two new vehicles that we have. And then, of course, we have some new wrecks to go along with that stuff. We have two new armor sets, which is the Mark V Alpha Reflex, which is a legendary mythic armor set. And then there's the Dynast armor set. Then we have the Blue Steel skins for all the loadout weapons. We also have a Glacier Visor, which is basically a deep blue visor. A Grenadier armor mod. And then we have a new animated emblem. So there's actually six new emblems, but one of them is animated. It's the Super Combine. So basically take a little doll, and then you have Niels in it, and it's actually animated, which is really cool.
That's probably my favorite emblem that we've seen so far.
It's the one
it's
I'm
so
using.
Cool. Yeah, it's the one I'm using right now, too.
I'll put the last light one back on at some point, but...
I'm still rocking the last light one until I get my Spartan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But there's a Staketacular emblem as well.
I haven't seen that one pop up yet.
We had one person that had that today.
Nice. Distraction. There's also a Money Eights and Dog Pound and Soul. So those are the six emblems. Then there's the Pink Mist Stance, which is basically just standing there with the arms to the side and are holding a Needler. And then there's two new Assassination. Fisticuffs, which is basically you put someone on the ground, you're just punching them with fisticuffs.
That one's funny. I actually got that one. That one's pretty hilarious to use.
Yeah, and then there's Take a Look.
That one's brutal.
That one is very brutal.
Ugh. It's a good thing this game's rated T, because I can imagine, like, the gore that would come out of that one. That would...
Yeah, no blood. And that's it, basically, from the update side of things. Just checking through real quick. Obviously, there's some other patch notes things that are being put in there as well. So they fixed a lot of different things with little bug fixes that they always do. But one cool thing that they've added in now is that your teammates in your party show up green on your kill feed. Anyone else notice that?
I noticed it was a different color, but I didn't know it was green.
Yep.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so if you're in a party, teammates in your party will now show up green in your kill feed.
Hmm. That's interesting. I didn't notice that. It's good to know, though.
Yeah. But everyone else is still blue, and then you have red, obviously, for the other team, and then yellow for yourself. So that's really cool that they're still doing that. And then the other thing, too, now, is that in your rosters, you have your Spartan company.
Yes.
That was really cool that they added that.
Yes.
Should have been there at the beginning, but...
Yeah, I know, right? But that makes things so much easier for company events now.
No kidding.
So much easier. So thank you for that, 343, because that was definitely needed.
Thank you very much.
That was needed so much.
Indeed, it was. I mean, now you can just go through and see who's actually online, too, and just go ping them an invite. It's a lot easier that way, rather than just going through an entire friends list.
Yep. And that means you don't have to add everybody on your friends list either.
Nope.
Exactly. Because that can be a pain to sort through your friends list to find everybody in your company.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in your friends lists to tell you that they're in your company unless you've got your company roster on the computer next to you.
Yeah. And then being able to go in and seeing the company and then just seeing who's online is like, okay, invite. Makes it so easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other big thing for me, is having that in there.
Oh, and one of my favorite game modes is back. DMR slot.
Someone else, I think Pins was saying that also in the chat too, that he was really looking.
Pins said that a little earlier.
Really excited about that.
But, oh, yes. I've only gotten to play two games, but oh man, I missed that from Reach.
Good.
I like SWAT. It's my favorite game type overall. I don't know why, but I've always liked SWAT, and DMR SWAT to me is just more fun. I'm not any better at it. I have more fun with it.
Yeah.
What do you think of it? Or have you even got to play it yet?
So, actually, when I was playing either yesterday or the day before to get my arena dailies, when I usually do SWAT whenever I do my arena dailies, and I think the first three games I had were all DMR SWAT.
Jerk.
Needless to say, I don't think... I think I lost the first two and then won the third. Or maybe I didn't win the first three and then there was a BR Swan. Maybe I won that one. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly. But it's all right. I think I prefer the BR one just because you have that the three chances to get a headshot with the BR. Which I know is kind of a little noobish, but it is what it is.
Noob tube.
No, it's not the noob tube. That would be the grenade launcher.
I know.
Which it'd be really cool to have that back with the Memories of Reach DLC.
No kidding.
That'd be sick. I really wish they would. I hope they bring it back. I think they would. I honestly think they would, only because like it's that was a really hot item in Halo Reach.
Yeah. So I was actually on Drunken Halo this week, and one of the questions I think that came up was, what was my favorite weapon? And one of the things I mentioned was, through all of the new weapons that have been added since Halo 3, I've liked some new weapon in that. So, like, the most fun weapon to use for me in Halo 3 was the Spartan Laser, and then in Halo Reach it was the Grenade Launcher, and then in Halo 4 was the Railgun, and in Halo 5 it's the Plasma Caster.
I have to admit, I've had some fun with the Plasma Caster. I did it. I got a kill Tacular the other day with it, and I'm still trying to figure out how I did it.
So it's very useful for clearing out armories, I have found, in Warzone. That's like, yeah. whenever I'm getting frustrated in the armory and I just need to go in and clear it out, I'll just take a Plasma Caster or whatever the one is above it that has the two that shoot out, and I will just go to town. And I can get just stacked kills with it like no one's business. It's so much fun to use that, because it's basically like the grenade launcher, except it's just plasma instead.
Yeah. Bounces like it and everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that. I've got plenty.
Yeah, it's...
I'll start using that.
The white Plasma Caster is crazy. I forget, what does the white Plasma Caster do that the other one doesn't? I'm looking it up. I think I have one in my set of weapons here. The white Scar Fast Plasma Caster that fires modified bolts to proximity detonate if hip-fired. And have a needler fragmentation effect. Ooh, I'm going to have to play around with that one a little bit. Needles are fun in Halo.
I've got one of those too.
I've got five. So yeah, there's that. I think another bug fix that people were really happy to see too is that whenever you have speed boost activated, Spartan charging now kills upon impact for just a standard shielded Spartan. So that pretty much covers the update for Ghost of Meridian. There's a few other bug fixes as well. That they also listed. It's a freaking long change list for Ghost of Meridian, but it's there. Lots of cool stuff with the update, which is really fun. And I need to see if I can get a actual game of Tyrant at some point, because that's the only thing I really haven't experienced yet from the update so far. So another thing that kind of got released today was Warzone Firefight, the beta. And they had some rough start getting it up and running. So it's actually, as of this recording, it is available now and it's going to go through until Tuesday, April 19th. So we got a full extra day to mess around with this.
Yeah, it's really sad that I have to work tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday.
Well, you know.
It's going to take away from my playing time.
Well, it'll be back. And it'll be better when it's back.
I'm going to miss it. It'd be kind of like that time between Halo 5 Guardians Beta and Halo 5 Guardians. It was a sad time.
And that you had to wait 9 months to play it again.
Yeah, it's... I played it for about 2.5 hours tonight after I got home, and I was having an absolute blast. I was burning wreck. I didn't care, because I can pull the wreck out and actually get to use it and not just... insta-die. It will, in most cases. There are some times that happen. But it hangs around long enough that once I respawn, I can go pick it back up.
Yeah.
I pulled an answer out for the first time in probably a month, because I don't get as many as I used to, so I tend to hang on to them. And I was just ripping through some nights.
Cool.
And it felt, oh, geez, it was so good to sit there and watch, just hold that trigger down and listen to the thump and watch the health just fall away.
Well, I mean, to your point too, with normal Warzone you could spawn in with a weapon and then 5 seconds die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was,
and
like,
then somebody else picks it up.
So I'm okay if someone else on my team picks it up, Because at least that means it's being used in favor of the team. It's really frustrating when the enemy team picks it up.
Yeah, that's usually what happens to me. The guy that just killed me picks up the weapon I just spawned with.
Yeah.
But the way they're doing the firefight, I like. It harkens back to the older firefights, but it doesn't duplicate it. You basically have five rounds, or five waves, however you want to look at it. Some of the objectives that they give you, and it's a random selection for each level. Some of the objectives you get have two parts to them. Like, you have to kill this set of bosses, and then the mythic set of bosses come in. They have another one where you get the final wave. You get the boss wave all come in at the same time, but you have one of them is you have two regular wardens, and then you have a mythic warden.
Yeah, I saw the mythic warden on the stream.
He, honestly, you better save up your rec for him, because you're going to want to bring out the big guns. And I don't care what it is. The biggest, baddest, most powerful thing that you have in your inventory for him. He takes a lot to kill. But in the same sentence there, he's still fun to fight. I mean, the other two wardens, they're just the typical warden. But this mythic guy?
Uh-huh.
He will hunt you down. I am not, the other wardens would chase you a little bit if you were close.
Right.
This guy will, if you duck around and hide behind a box, he'll come find you.
Dun, dun, dun.
He has similar attacks. The beam attack is a little different. Does a lot more damage.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, he's actually kind of fun to fight. Yes, he is a bullet sponge, but when you're fighting him, you don't really feel that way as much because, one, he moves around, and it seems like whoever's doing the most damage to him is the one he's attracted to.
That kind of makes sense.
Right.
Then that's really the best way to have the AI respond, is if you're doing the most damage to him, that's where the attention should be really gathered towards. So, but that's awesome to hear. And one of the cool things I saw from the stream, which for those of you who may have not caught it, they did a live stream on Tuesday, the 12th, kind of showing off what Warzone Firefight was. And one of the cool things, which I don't think you've touched on quite yet, GT, but every time that you're running Warzone Firefight, the scenarios that you're going through are different. So you could have a different set of enemies or different objectives for each round every time you're going into firefight, which I think is great for replayability.
Oh yeah. Most people, the one they're going to notice the most is the first one when you spawn in.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the games I played, I only got the first one once, or I only duplicated the first objective once. And like I said, I played for 2.5 hours and they rotated through the objectives, and well, at least I think it was only once or twice. They have a limited amount of objectives because it is the beta. But it, as far as noticing the repeat, yeah, I knew I did it before, but it didn't feel repetitive, except for when you have to defend the garage. That one is just, I cringe when that one comes up.
Yeah, Pins said in the chat, he thinks the garage defense is harder than the final boss kill.
In a way it is. If you can stay inside the garage and hiding by the upstairs rec station is a legitimate strategy, it works as long as there's at least two of you there.
Uh-huh.
But as long as you can stay inside, you're good because, one, they don't capture the base, and two, you get shelter from the Phaetons. But at one point, I was upstairs and there were 25 Prometheans in the base.
I saw that on the stream, too. I think it got up to 27 at one point. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
They do not hold back.
Yeah. And that was one of the things when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I'm sold. Because instead of just having to kill enemies over and over again, they actually incorporated an objective into it that's already based in Warzone, which was defending a base. So they basically took a thing from Warzone Assault, and the AI are attacking it, which is really, really cool. I thought that was really awesome to see.
And the nice thing is some of the AI they've changed as far as their weapon sets.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you notice, the knights will have a mix of suppressors, shotguns, or scatter shots, incendiary cannons. Soldiers, they primarily still just do the suppressor and the light rifle. And then, of course, you've got your, the crawlers are pretty much the same. But they did something different to the knights because they don't, they just don't seem like they fight the same to me. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It just, they seem to be a little tougher to, you know, to hit that sweet spot.
Well, they also did that with, like the new knight on the new Warzone skirmish at Darkstar. Like, apparently the knight there, the legendary knight, has, it's a little more armored up and it is harder. I think that it was something that they talked about during either the Ghost of Meridian stream or the Warzone Firefight beta stream, was that there is a new knight that is a lot harder to hit those soft spots, and it also doesn't open up its front mask anymore either.
Yeah, like these will still open up the front mask for that quick headshot if you can time it. But it just seems like their sweet spots are, you've got to be a lot more accurate when you hit them. You know, where before you just kind of hit the general area and it, you'd score a hit. But it seems like you've got to really hit the middle of that spot to get it to take the damage that you want. And they dance around more than they used to, you know, where they seem like they used to just lumber around. And then every once in a while, you know, they jog to the left, jog to the right, or whatever. These guys, they don't hold still like they used to.
Well, why should they?
Well, I'm not saying that they should, but it made it a lot more fun to fight. Like I said, I played for 2.5 hours and I was having a blast.
Nice. Yeah.
I have my reason to get my wreck.
Good. I'm looking forward to playing to it. I'm probably going to, like they did for Warzone Turbo, I'm probably going to be using a lot of my randoms in this just to get rid of randoms because I have a crap ton of random wreck cards. And then maybe save some of the big ones for the very end, like actually use specific ones for round 4 or 5. One of the nice things I've heard, though, so far from people that have played is it does have that Warzone or the Firefight feel. I think you mentioned this earlier, too, that kind of satisfies what Firefight was for Halo Reach and for ODST. So that's nice to hear.
The only real part that you're missing from the other two is the continuation of the round. You get the 5 waves and that's it, at least in matchmaking. You don't get that, you know, that next round like you did in ODST or Reach when you were able to play custom.
Right.
You could play it for as long as you wanted and get it as hard, it could get as hard as you want it. Thankfully, they don't have the Endure achievement for Halo 5.
Well, I'm hoping too that if it is something where Warzone becomes a custom option, then you might be able to have sets, because that was one of the things with Reach is that you had, it was technically 3 waves in a round and then 5 rounds in the set. But since they already have rounds, maybe you can just do 5 rounds in a set. And then introduce skulls into the mix and then have it in a custom game to where you could just go longer. I think that would be cool.
It'd be cool. I don't know that Warzone's going to have customs in Halo 5.
I really hope they bring it.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. I don't see it happening, but I've been wrong before.
I think there could be quite a bit of benefit from Warzone. And I've talked to a few people, and there is definitely some interest in a Warzone League of some sort. So as far as all three of us, GT, you're the only one that has actually played Firefight so far. But just from your experience, do you think that it's going to be something that is going to take over kind of like the Warzone Arena stuff? Because from what it sounds like, this is a lot more fun than Warzone Arena.
For a lot of people, they will gravitate to the Warzone Firefight, and they're the people that don't necessarily belong to a group that specifically focuses on Warzone. So regular Warzone with the Warzone Firefight available, regular Warzone is going to get even more competitive because you're going to see a lot more dedicated groups or teams playing Warzone. And the more casual of us are going to probably focus on Warzone Firefight. Because I guarantee you that's where I'm going to be. I probably won't play regular Warzone anymore other than to get my daily win.
So whenever I do my daily win for the Warzone side, I do Assault because sometimes those are quick 6-minute rounds. You're done.
Yeah, I can't do Assault. It's just way too irritating.
I mean, it can definitely be irritating, but it's quicker to get the dailies that way.
It is. It can be quicker, but there's this thing called stress management.
Yeah.
I don't want to get so pissed off at the game that I turn it off for the night.
Fair enough. No, I don't blame you.
But, you know, the Firefight, it's going to fill a niche for the more casual of the Warzone players. And right. give them a reason to actually go out and look for their daily win and get the rec packs and stuff like that so that they can build their inventory for Firefight. Because I guarantee in Firefight, you are going to burn through rec.
Yeah, similar to how people did in Warzone Turbo.
I mean, in Warzone Turbo, I saw that what was going to happen was I could burn through all my rec pretty quick.
Oh,
and I actually did. I think I burned like 20 tanks.
Dang.
But
it was pretty early on where I decided to, okay, instead of using all these nice recs, I'm going to just use randoms and see what I get.
And that's what I started to do until my fifth Gun Goose.
Yeah.
I literally, off randoms, I pulled 5 Gun Gooses in a row. I was like, come on. Where's the random part of this? But
there is none.
Every once in a while, I'll get a Ghost Ultra. Because these are, you know, level 3, level 5 randoms. So.
Right. I've actually had a few times where I've used random and have been very fortunate with the outcome.
Oh, one time I pulled a random, level 5 random and got a Wraith Ultra. I was very happy with that.
Yeah.
That was worth 3 boss kills.
I think.
And I don't know how many Spartan kills, but.
Yeah, one time I got a fuel rod with a level 3 to help finish off a Horizon Assault match. And then sometimes I'll get lucky with the random level 5s for vehicles and get tanks.
I never used a random deal at all. Like, if I want to go for something, I'm going to go for something that I want.
That's why I was burning them in Turbo, because it didn't really matter. If I didn't get something I like, I could wait, you know, a minute and pull another random and see what happens.
Yeah.
It definitely is the random stuff, but I've gotten some pretty good stuff out of the randoms before. Yeah,
it's truly random.
Wait. Eric Kibu said he's gotten 3 or 4 Hannibal Mantises from random ultra rare vehicles.
What?
Yeah. What voodoo is this?
We don't have your luck, Eric Kibu.
What voodoo is this?
Hacker.
Anyways, so that's pretty much the Warzone Firefight beta. It is live now and then through Tuesday, April 19th. So definitely make sure you get in your set of games. There's also the Mythic Warzone Rec Pack, which is available during the duration of the beta, and it is worth 80,000 rec points if you want to go that route, or $9.99. So same as all the other limited time stuff that we've seen so far. And then it includes 10 mythic single-use power weapons, one ultra-rare or legendary weapon or vehicle certification. So I'm still working on my golds, so I'm actually not going to be... I don't think I'll do anything with the Mythic Warzone pack. I might buy one just to see what it's like, but other than that, I'm still going to be working on my golds because I get 2 ultra-rare or legendary vehicle or weapon unlocks that way.
I did buy one pack.
I'll probably just do my one.
To open up on, you know, my rec pack opening video.
Right. The fact that it's all mythic weapons, though, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I got one of them, and I got so many things. Like, what's the count that they have on those that are set? Is it random, or is it specific to each time you get a rec pack from that?
What do you mean?
what you get is random, but it is, you get a guaranteed so many mythic and the other.
Yeah, ten mythics.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I got. Because I didn't know if it was just random how many you get, or if it was just random, just all together, just all random.
Yeah. What the heck? I have another Spartan Company combination reward pack in here.
I've been getting a bunch.
Someone's been going to work. Because there have been a lot recently. And I guess an update on that while we're on the subject. We actually have six of our out of 33 kill commendations at level 3. So someone's been going to work. I mean, I know I've been playing every day, but there have been people going to work in our Spartan Company to try to get that up there. So way to go, folks, for really coming to the plate on that. And we only have 2 level 1s left. The last 2 that we have on our way to getting those done, let me pull that up real quick, our first strike, so getting our first strike medal, or the first kill in the middle of the match, and we still need 110 of those to finish level 2, and then the pain train, which is kill an enemy Spartan with a shoulder bash, and we need 97 of those. So really not too much longer on both of those to reach level 2, but someone out there, I don't know if it's Keys or someone else, but yes, Ericby, we know you have Achilles. You're part of Filthy Animals. Of course you have Achilles. You're probably close to getting the helmet, for all we know.
I think somebody needs to take a timeout.
Ericby was in the running, I think, among like maybe 20 or 30 other people trying to get the first 152 in Halo 5. I don't know. Someone's got to be close. Well, no. I'm thinking we'll probably see a 152 probably late next month or early June would be my guess.
Right.
Well, the one thing is with this Warzone firefight, it's going to help us with Can't We Get Along?
Which one's that one?
Kill Covenant Enemies.
Oh, yeah. So people hop on that. Definitely hop on that.
We should be able to finish that one up by Tuesday.
How many more do we need?
We've got 200 of 9,600 to make level 5.
200 of 9,600? Yeah. That's a...
So we need 9,400 kills.
That's a lot.
Did you see how many Covenant would spawn in when they'd spawn in?
No. I haven't played Warzone yet.
Yeah, like 50?
I haven't played Firefight yet. Dang.
Believe me, there's plenty of opportunity.
Well, I'll be playing the heck out of it on Saturday, that's for sure.
I'm going to be playing the heck out of it every minute of free time I got.
Eric, how do you have only... Oh, you have 1.3 million XP left? My gosh. He says he's 147 with just under 1.3 million XP left.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him right now, and he's about the 55% mark on his 147 rank. Oh, you're not in Filthy Annals anymore? He's under We Need Achilles. Oh, so he's helping other people out with Achilles, I guess.
Hmm. Okay.
Dang. Anyways, tangent. sorry about that. But yeah, so the firefight stuff, as far as all that goes, I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to be playing it just after the podcast here. And we bumped up the podcast so we could be playing it afterwards. So we canceled yesterday's Warzone Wednesdays because we knew Firefight was coming out. So we're going to do that actually after the podcast tonight. And I'll be playing quite a bit of it on Saturday, actually. So hoping to get quite a few games then on playing Firefight. It's definitely a good time to get those enemy commendations, like GT was saying, even the personal ones. It's a great time for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time to work on your weapon kills and or your weapon commendations and your enemy commendations.
Yep. Warzone Turbo was so much fun. I really want Fiesta back so I can work on some of those other weapon commendations. Fiesta was the best for weapon commendations, except for the Spanker, because the Spanker never was in the rotation.
Yeah.
But
I wish I'd have got to play more Fiesta, but I didn't.
Yeah, me too. Although I was grinding it out for the last, not this last time it was up, but the weekend before, like the first weekend it was out, I was grinding that for a couple of days. I got a lot of my weapon commendations done for it too. All right, a couple other news things to talk about before we close out the podcast for tonight. We're actually going to be pushing the campaign stuff to the show for next week, and we're actually not going to be doing the show on Thursday next week because I will be in transit to Boston for PAX East then. So we're actually going to, I think, pre-record that one, finish up the campaign stuff, and then post that on Thursday next week when we would normally be recording at that time. So I think that's what we're going to be doing, but stay tuned for that. They have come out with some new stances and size options for the Sandboxer 3D Spartan prints. And sadly, when I moved, the one that I had from San Diego Comic-Con last year broke at the ankles.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. And it was free for me then. I got it for free. And now I'm having to...
That really sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I could glue it back together, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
Well, now you got a chance to get a bigger one.
Yeah. That costs $189.
It's just money dust. What are you going to do? Take it with you?
Oh.
Well, you know, maybe. No, but they have new stances that you can use, and they have different sizes now as well. So there's trying to figure out where they posted the sizes, but they had the three sizes that that they had before, and then they have this new ridiculously large size, which is 20 inches tall. Is that right? Laird, if you're still in here, you know where that is.
A 20-inch Spartan. Where the heck would I put one?
I know where I would put mine.
I have a hard enough time with the 11-inch statue of Locke.
Mm.
He keeps trying to fall on my keyboard. Oh, they've got him in. They've got him kind of in a running stance.
Okay.
He's not real stable at all. I probably need to put him on a piece of wood and screw up through his feet so he doesn't fall over so much.
Too funny.
Yeah, they really should have put him on a base of some type.
Afterthought.
But anyway.
So I'm trying to figure out where the sizes are here real quick. I'm not finding it, but they definitely are trying to bump up the game there, which is crazy. Yeah, I want to say it was 20 inches for the huge one. I think it's $189.99. Yeah, I'm trying to find it, but it's not popping up anywhere. Anyways, so yeah, that happened. And then there is more information on the Pro League that actually just got announced this week as well. And let me pull that up real quick. Where did I put it? Okay, here we go. And there's actually an event happening at PAX East as well. So the first Pro League event is inviting four teams to the what is this they're calling the Pro League Invitational at PAX East 2016, presented by ESL. And it's going to be Evil Geniuses, Optic Gaming, Enigma 6, which I guess is a team name change because it has Boo Boo Doobo on it, and Kratos. I don't remember them being called Enigma 6 during the HCS. So that might be a team name change. And then Team Envious. So those are going to be the four teams. They're going to be at PAX East, so going to have some coverage on that. I actually had to change my travel to accommodate that because they announced that, I think, on Monday this week? No, Tuesday. And I was originally planning to leave at 3 o'clock on Sunday, so I had to actually bump my train back to like 10:38 at night. So that'll be fun. But that's going down on Sunday, April 24th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be casted on Twitch. It'd probably be safe to assume that Bravo is going to be casting maybe with Strong Side and Golden Boy, possibly. So I'll be there for that. Try to get a few more interviews there as well. In addition to that event, though, there are going to be a number of qualifying events leading up to the actual season play, which begins in June. So in April, there is the PAX East LAN qualifier. That's going to be the 24th. And then there is a invite online qualifier. So based on the Halo World Championship placings, there's going to be 16 teams invited to participate in the online qualifier for April 30th. And then the top eight will advance to the May 8th LAN tournament, and then that's going to be a qualification tournament. And then there's going to be a last chance qualifier on May 21st through 22nd. And then in between there, there's an open qualifier May 14th and 15th. And then top teams from that will also go into the last chance qualifier. And then the season play happens between June and July, with season finals going into to some point in the play future afterwards. So yeah, there's those details. We'll probably cover that a little bit more next time. We are trying to wrap this up, but there are more details of that over at Halo.gg, and they've actually updated that from the Halo World Championship to the Pro League stuff as well. So make sure you check that out. We have some other kind of sad news. BS Angel is no longer at 343. She was one of the, I think, most involved community people that Halo has ever had, and she was one of the community greats when she was actually part of the community before her time at 343. She ran the blog Hottie McBloggy, which covered a lot of different Halo stuff. She did a lot of stuff with Halo screenshots and highlighting community stuff, and then when she was community manager for 343, she did a lot of stuff with community updates and just being involved with sharing community content, and it was very, very nice to have her in that position because she did so much for the community. And it's
just one of those things where it truly blew my mind on how involved she was with the community. It didn't matter who you were, it didn't matter where you were. Like, if you tweeted at her or something, she usually retweeted with, like, or tweeted back at you within like a minute. And it's like just anyone, like, it's just crazy how like involved she was. Like, if it actually weren't for her, I probably wouldn't know a lot of the Halo people I know today. Like, one of the main reasons why I met a lot of people, including just everyone, like part of the Ready Up Live crew and stuff like that, was because of the community playdates with 343. We all got in a lobby together at some point, and we all started talking, and that's how a big part of just how I kind of knew everyone. It's just really sad to see her go. She did such a phenomenal job for 343.
She will truly be missed.
Yeah, she definitely will. It's one of those things that it's hard to see her go. And I mean, from what we understand, it's not like she left on bad terms or anything. She still really enjoys Halo, and she's even said on Twitter she's really happy to be back on the community side of things. Sadly, Hottie McBloggy doesn't look like it's coming back because she let the domain lapse last year at some point, and now is owned by someone else. But it'll be interesting to see how involved, if she gets heavily involved back with the Halo community. But in her words, she's not leaving Halo. She still really loves Halo, which is awesome. But best wishes, Jess, to wherever your career takes you. Hope to see you back on the podcast at some point, since you're now kind of out of the clutches of 343 PR. So you have an open invitation to come on the podcast. And I hope you take advantage of that, because she, believe it or not, she was one of the first guests whenever I relaunched the podcast back in October of 2008. She was one of the first guests on the show that we had to help get us back in kind of the audience of the Halo masses. And she was really cool to be a part of. And whenever she got to 343, my first convention experience was being invited to be on a community panel at Halo Fest, which was my first convention I ever attended. And I got to go visit 343.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Well, she started, like, when did she join 343? It was during Reach, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was during Reach. I think it was either late 2010 or early 2011. I want to say late 2010.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember that she shared a tweet stating her first badge that she ever received was the staff for Halo Reach's launch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it would have been 2010, because Reach was 2010.
It's just, I really wish I would have actually met her when she was part of the community manager spot. Anytime I've ever talked with her, like, I missed her on every occasion, it seemed. The year she was at RTX as the community manager, the next year I went, she wasn't there. The first time I actually met her was at PAX, or E3. And she's probably one of the realest people you ever talk to, too. Like, it was weird to, like, think that she was part of PR. Like, it was her job to actually talk with people. But she had, it was just, she she loved hanging out with everyone, it seemed. Like, she knew everyone, too, which was awesome.
And she understood the community, which was one of the reasons why she made such a great community manager.
Exactly.
I mean, no offense to Bravo, but I don't think there could be another community manager quite like Jess.
No. And there really isn't. I mean, it doesn't matter what game, what franchise, anything. Like, I don't think anyone could ever retrace her footsteps ever. It's as hard as it is to say, and as snobby it is to say, it is the honest truth.
Yeah.
For as small as she is, she's left some big shoes to fill.
Very true. That's actually a very appropriate thing to say, I think. Yeah. I mean, she left some gigantic shoes to fill with that. But we wish her the best with wherever she decides to go with her career. I mean, with what she's done, it leaves a lot of opportunities open for her. So hopefully we'll get to see her around the convention still. I'm assuming that she will probably stay in the Seattle area, so PAX Prime will probably still be a very realistic spotting for her. At least I hope it's
I'm
that
sure
way.
She'll be at PAX. I'm sure she'll be at PAX Prime.
You will be missed, Jess, within the realms of the Halo studio, but it's nice to have you back on the community side. So that's that. And that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. There's some campaign stuff. Blah, blah, blah. There's some campaign stuff. Wow. I can't say campaign.
Campaign?
Wow. There is some campaign stuff that we'll be covering in the next episode, like I mentioned earlier. And we'll probably just go ahead and do the last four missions, because that's all we have left. I think it's missions 12 through 15, which we haven't gone through yet. So we'll cover some of those. And again, that will probably be a pre-recorded show and not a live show. So stay tuned for that. We are giving away a $10 code after the podcast is done here on the live side of things for the recording. So we do giveaways every once in a while on our stream. So if you listen to us via download and are interested in actually listening to us live and maybe getting some goodies out of it, then definitely encourage you guys to check us out on our Twitch channel. You can head on over to podtackler.com/Twitch and find our Twitch channel, which is where we stream our podcasts and our customs, which is Fraggin' Fridays with Mr. Godzilla T at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I am working on trying to get some new overlay assets and then get streams configured so we can actually start broadcasting Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays. So hopefully we'll be getting that up to snuff here soon and doing more Halo streams that way. There's also the Achieving Halo stuff, which Godzilla T is working on as well, which we're actually doing another recording session on Saturday. You want to give some of the details on that, GT?
Are you going to have the podcast out before Saturday?
Yes, it's actually going to be out tomorrow, believe it or not.
Good. Well, good. Well, if you guys listen to it in time, Saturday the 16th, I will be doing a recording of Achieving Halo for the third mission. I can't think what the name of it is right at the moment. But anyway, if you would like to be involved in that, please message me. You can get me at Godzilla Space T on Xbox Live. You can get me at Godzilla Todd on Twitter, or you can message me on the company forums. I also have a post on there, and we do also have a post on our website forums that you can get a hold of me and let me know that you want to join. Best places are either Twitter or my gamer tag. So if you want to join in, just let me know. I've been trying to do them about 5 o'clock Eastern time on Saturdays. If I get a group of people that can do it another time and we can all agree on a time, then I will definitely make that happen. So just let me know.
Cool. So yeah, definitely check that out. And the mission that we're thinking of, I think is Meridian Station the fourth one or it's Glassed. That's it. It's Glassed as the third mission. Meridian Station is the fourth one. It's the hub one.
Yeah, I totally blanked that.
Which, that one will be a quick one because it's literally you just go around and collect the intel and then finish.
Well, I don't know.
You going to show the Easter egg?
That, which one?
Is there more than one? Ball? Yeah, the soccer ball.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got the vending machine, too.
Well, the vending machine is for the soccer ball.
Oh, isn't that where the... No, that's not where the weapon vending machine is. Never mind.
No, that's on Glast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I will be showing that Easter egg on Glast.
Cool.
We will probably do Glast and then Meridian Station all together.
Okay.
Or we'll do Meridian Station and Unconfirmed together. But the recordings they only take about an hour and a half, depending on how quickly people get in. So the more people that are on time, the faster we get done.
There you go. All right. So make sure you check that out this weekend if you're able to attend. That'll be a really cool way to get involved with some of the stuff that we're trying to do. There are a few things that we're also trying to do as well, but that's kind of one of the big things, at least from a YouTube perspective. So you can definitely check out our YouTube channel as well by heading over to podtackler.com/YouTube. And then we're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can check those out by the respective links doing podtackler.com/that social media site. That's all the stuff I think I need to plug. Remember to check out the beta this weekend, going on until Saturday, Tuesday, April 19th. We got the extended day, which is awesome. So even more time to have fun with the mode. And make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a group of gaming specific podcasts, which include Guardian Radio, Critcast, Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. If you're looking for some other gaming podcasts to get involved with, definitely recommend you check those out. And then also make sure you check out the latest episode of Drunken Halo, which I was invited to be on by Justin over there and had a really good time. It turned out to be a interview Dustin podcast. So they asked their community on Facebook and Slack chat, which is the kind of like a almost like a IRC chat thing that they have for their community, but they asked for questions over there, and it was about 2.5 hours of answering questions. Fair warning, it's not exactly safe for work in terms of language. So
very explicit.
Yes. Yes, they are a very explicit podcast. So definitely go on over and check that out if you're interested. And I have to give a shout out to Drunken Halo guys, because they're actually a really cool group. Just from the podcast that they do, they're brothers, which is really cool. And they consistently do 1v1s that have a great turnout, and it's been very successful. I think this is the fourth or fifth one that they've done that they're currently working on right now. And it's just been really cool to see them grow as a community and a podcast. So huge shout outs to them. And then one of our other kind of Halo podcast veterans, Griffball Hub, is also into their Halo 5 season of Griffball, which from what I understand is actually going pretty well. And for anyone that's going to be at PAX East, I'm going to be there. Griffball Hub's going to be there. There's going to be a few other Halo community members there, along with obviously the Pro Circuit PAX East Invitational. So if you are there, please stop me and say hi. I will have Podtackler swag that you can pick up if you're there. And then hopefully get to see some people on Sunday during the finals. I guess it's the only day, so I guess just during the event, really. But yeah, hope to see some people there. Thanks for tuning into this episode, and we will see you all next week. $10 gift code happening after we're done hitting the stop button. But for everyone else, thank you for tuning in. We will see you all next week. Keep on fragging firefight.